Brad Davidson coming up shortly. In fact, he's on the line now. Morning, Brad. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Jared. Morning, everyone.
All right, let's get your take on it. Upheld or dismissed in the Cox plate?
Yeah, I thought it was a real line ball call, guys. I must admit, when I first looked at it, I thought it was, you know, 60-40 dismissed. And then since looking at it again, I'm probably still slightly dismissed, but I could see sort of both sides to it, to be honest. I thought it was a very, very tight call. I thought it could have gone either way. I thought it was interesting yesterday that the comments there from the chief steward saying that, you know, Animo still had 13 strides to pick up the other horse and was unable to do so. I still think that that's probably not the... I mean, it's not the way that I thought these days protests, put it that way. I thought they were more along the lines of, was the interference more than the margin? And if it is, then it's upheld. And I think we're getting closer to that, but I still think we've got a little way to go with the protest. I still think, you know, these days, I mean, it's not as bad as it was maybe 10, 15 years ago. 10, 15 years ago, you had to really prove beyond reasonable doubt that you were going to win a race. And I find that staggering because why should the horse that was first past the post, but first past the post for breaking the rules, get an advantage in the first place? And that's where I really want to see protests get to is just take out who was first past the post and just say, okay, without that interference, who was 50.1% more likely to win the race? Who was more likely to win? Simple. That's the answer, and that's the result. And I think, you know, the closer we get to that sort of model going forward, the better it's going to be, because that's the way I think protests should be. And I think sometimes we still give too much probably credit to the horse first past the post, where it should just be, you know, is the interference more than the margin? Then uphold the protest. Simple as that. But like I said, on Saturday, I thought it was a real line ball call, guys. And I think probably if you back Animo, you're probably thinking upheld. And if you back the other one, you'd think dismissed. So it was a real tricky one. I didn't have a bet in the race. But, yeah, I would have thought just marginally dismissed, but nothing in it at all.
Do you think they should have emergency runners, Davo? I mean, it was a 8-horse field. We had, you know, a couple of late scratchings and Zaki on the morning of the race. Do you think there should be an opportunity there for horses to be called in?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose they knocked back KO and Oteek, didn't they, during the week when it wasn't even a full field. So they're probably not too worried about the full field. They're going for quality over quantity, as they would say, even though KO and Oteek, I think, should have been in the race for sure. But, you know, it's that argument we have with Melbourne Cup as well. It'd be great to have emergencies there. And I know the reasoning behind that, you know, I don't think it can take more than the 24 runners, the way the betting's played out and all that sort of stuff. But it would be good to have those sort of things so that, you know, horses in a Melbourne Cup and in a Cox plate, when we do have a full field, they're able to get their opportunity when one comes out on race morning.
Dave, what did you make of Ice Bath's win in the invitation, mate?
Yeah, she really deserved it, Clarkey. I mean, you know, runner-up in a golden, runner-up in a couple of big feature races, the Doncaster and a Golden Eagle in the past. And look, she'd just been busting to win one of these big races. And it just set up perfectly there for her on the weekend with the favourite caught wide and good speed up front. But she still had to get the job done. And she was super strong late. And as I said, you know, it's been heartache for the connection a few times going down in big, big races. But is able to get the big one there on the weekend, and I don't think anyone would begrudge her of that, for sure.
You're getting a lot of love on the text line for your confidence in Halal. Finchop and others have sent texts through. What are your thoughts on Halal there and the Bondi Stakes? And I can see it having a campaign probably similar to Brutal 2 years ago, where in the autumn of 2019, potentially, Davo, we're culminating in potentially a crack at the Doncaster.
Yeah, he's just improved, hasn't he, every time he stepped up in trip. And look, I thought it was a peach of a ride by Tommy Berry there on the weekend. He can do a few things wrong, and he wanted to get going a bit early, the horse, and start get going. But Tommy just held him back, got that bit of cover, and got him to the outside. And once he did that, it was always going to be very, very hard to hold out late. Good to see him get the job done. And, thanks for the text messages there. Sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't, but nice to get the verdict there on Saturday.
What about the carnival rolls on, the Golden Eagle this weekend?
Yeah, exactly right. The Golden Eagle Derby Day doesn't get much better, does it? So, really looking forward to the week ahead. It's shaping up to be a cracking race, the Golden Eagle. So many different form lines to consider. It's going to be a race to spend a fair amount of time on the form this week, no doubt, to line it all up. And we'll be doing our best to find the winner for listeners on Friday.
What are you following out of the meeting on Saturday?
Yeah, I think there's a few there, Jared, that sort of not in that real big carnival races, but just can be in the benchmark races. Media Stargaz was first up three wide, no cover. I thought did a terrific job in the midway. Looks in for a really good prep. I thought Vulpine was very good in the last. She's a horse that lost her way a touch this prep, but at her best, she's capable of a run like that. Now she's done it, this preparation. She just got caught in the last couple of strides. We gave her a really good kick at the top of the straight. I think she can now recapture her good form. And Bergen, I thought, was outstanding, working hard on speed. Took it, served it up to Emerald Kingdom. He finished well back, and he was still there fighting at the end. So they're the three horses to follow out of the meeting for me.
What about the horses to Bin? I'm assuming Gravina?
Yeah, well, you could say that. I think the I think I know the reason. It's a lot of punters probably doing a little bit of chasing at the end of the day, potentially. But these favourites seem to be starting very, very short in the last race there at Sydney on the weekend. And he was one that they just kept backing. And, you know, in hindsight, was very, very short and shouldn't have been that short. But, look, he still ran well enough. He's a horse that probably just likes that little bit of sting out of the track. But for me, the Sin Bin's the stablemate Cryderis. He's a horse that always takes up a great percentage of the market. And for mine, his pattern's just always against him. So he's a horse I'm always looking to take on. And I thought, he could have done a little bit more there on the weekend as well.
What are we forgiving?
What's in Royal Zell and Star Tonte's all put up lame there on the weekend. So you can forgive those three with genuine excuses.
Great stuff, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.